Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. We are in week 4 of our Cafe Book Club with Presence by Amy Cuddy. And I am sitting here with my lovely co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you doing, Amy, tonight?
I am very excited to be here.
It's weird for us to actually be looking at each other having conversations. That's good. That's good.
Well, I hope I'm not that weird to look at.
No, you're not that weird. No, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, okay.
I digress. Okay, and then we have Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim, how are you tonight?
Hey, great to be with you guys. I'm delighted.
It's so great to have you with us. And Miss Michelle is also joining us tonight. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, ladies. How are you?
Doing great. Really great. Great for us to be having this great conversation. So last week on episode TP288, we were talking about coming from, looking at being able to listen and really coming from being very present in our listening. And if you go back to that episode, there was a really wonderful story about Jeffrey. He was a pastor and dealing in the urban Boston area. With all the gang violence that was going on, and really encourage people to go back to look at that. And we also have a TED connection with a TED talk about that. And it just really looks at the different things, the dynamics of being able to just be in a place of listening instead of thinking you need to speak. And I think it's such a great model of, how we need to be in the world. And, whether it's on a personal level, in our businesses, just in every way. So what did you think about that, Amy?
Well, I want to dive in personally and give an experience of something that happened in the last week. I think that really talks about what we're diving into in this chapter that we're coming up on next. If that's all right?
Sure, we can go ahead and go forward. So this week is on Presence is Part 4, and I named it Can I Break Up with My Imposter Self? And we're really getting into looking at, there's just this phenomenon. I didn't even know that it was really something with all the research and stuff that Amy had shared within this chapter about the way that we just don't feel adequate in the way that we're going through our life. We may have awards and all these things really proving our abilities to be able to do things, but there's a little part of us that found out who I really am, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And I think that's, just an important thing for all of us to realize that, you're not alone in those feelings, and there's lots of different wonderful ways that we can empower ourselves. So go ahead, Amy.
Well, just first off, I don't know that it's necessarily a little small voice. I think there's times when it's a screaming banshee.
Okay.
So, I think it depends on different times. But I wanted to share an experience of something I had going on last week. And Dr. Kim, you're part of this, so just a heads up on this, here it's coming. So Kim had an issue that she wanted to work. And so she called me, the great spiritual psychologist, just look at my website. And it looks like I've got it all figured out. So when she called me to work this issue, I thought, oh, okay, I know what we'll do. And then we got in there, and I was feeling way over my head. But I just had to, I just took some nice deep breaths, and I really just had to go into free fall. And I did an exercise that's called the library, where you go and you look at an irrational belief and rewire it. But I wasn't going to go there. I totally was going to go another direction. But I just said, okay, I just feel like I'm faking this here, but I'm going to do it. And then we went through, and it was stunning to me how the process worked. And I was gaining more and more confidence, I think, in myself as we were going through the process. And then to see a result that felt really good to me, and I felt and really helped. But as I was starting it in the middle of it, I really didn't know if this was going to happen and if I was going to live up to the who people think I am. So what do you think about that, Kim? How was that experience for you?
Well, I certainly didn't know you had any modicum of self-doubt. You were strong and confident, and so I think that's a really good window into what I feel, too, which is what people see on the outside and what I'm going through on the inside may not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I had a similar experience of leading a workshop for a group of college students last week, and I walked into the room. I had prepared well, but I walked into the room and my mind went blank, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, these people came, some of them 300 miles to spend this time with me, and my mind is blank. And and much like you're talking about, I trusting and going into free fall. But I remember thinking, oh, if they only knew, if they only knew. So I ended up telling them, my mind just went blank, you guys. And everybody laughed, and then I was present again. So that imposter thing can really take us away in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great story. What about you, Michelle? Have there been situations where when you started reading this that things came up, remembering of just ways that you felt that imposter?
Yeah, I always called it really low self-esteem.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, just like, you know, that's great. Anything in particular on a situation that you'd like to share?
Well, there was a time in my life when I had a difficult time leaving my house and going to any place that was new. So I could only go to places and feel safe enough to go to places that I had been to over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually kind of a form of agoraphobia.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, I wasn't even good enough just to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not
so
even performing. Just to be in the world.
How did you feel when she's calling it a, you know, first they called it a phenomenon of having, you know, recognizing this as being, you know, imposter.
Well, they call it an experience. It's not a syndrome, but that is
right.
An experience. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I totally related to it. I'm so grateful to have moved past that. And as I was reading it, the thing that comes to me is when you feel like you're the one who's there, who has to perform up to a standard and everybody is there to see what you do, the more you let them in and connect on the same level, even though you are the leader, the more able you are to be present. So like if I had to do something where I led a group, if I said something to them that I'm here learning from you as much as you're here learning from me, that would take the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, because when you are present, you're open and you are learning just as much as you're giving.
Well, I love how Dr. Kim had talked about, you know, being really honest and saying, you know, my mind is on blank.
Yeah.
I love that, because it's just being in the moment and being real. So thank you for sharing that, Dr. Kim. I think that was really awesome. Well, it goes back to the beginning of the chapter with the quote that Amy had was, everyone wants to be Cary Grant. Even I want to be Cary Grant. And, of course, that's what Cary Grant said. So I thought that was really, you know, a great quote when you really look at the whole story of that. So the first part of the book, she's talking about a girl that she knew. Her name is Pauline, and Pauline had, you know, was really looking at just this phenomenon and really realized it was a place that she wanted to research. I really loved it because she was sharing about when she had gone to a counselor when she was still in school. She had a counselor that said, you know, you must be ready to make C's. Don't expect to make A's, and don't be hard on yourself. And she said, actually, I was a very good student, and I kept succeeding. And then she really had gone to a small college so that she felt that her fears would be manageable. So it's just this perpetuation of the impossible. When I think it's so much of it, you know, she goes on later in the chapter to say how, you know, society perpetuates this when it comes to a sense of ourselves. And they first of all thought it was a female phenomenon, especially because they were noticing it was with a lot of women that were high achievers, lawyer, doctors, things like that, scholars, with women who were really being capable, and they would just have this sense of a lie within themselves about, you know, if everybody knew who I was, they wouldn't think I could be here and do this. And one thing I really loved is Amy starts at, one of the things she did in her first TED Talk, of course, and we've shared that before, where it's the second most watched in all of TED history. She goes on to talk about that when she was in her grad school situation, she went to her professor and just said, you know, I'm not meant to be here. And thank God for her professor, because she said, yes, you are. You're meant to be here. And for her to be that vulnerable on a TED Talk, I think that's one of the reasons it did go viral, because people really just have to know that that's just an aspect of some of the false beliefs that we have about how we're being capable. So I'd love to hear either Dr. Kim or Amy kind of express from that.
Well, I'll dive in, and then whoever wants to come in after the water's fine, come on in. But on page 89, where she says, imposterism steals our power and suffocates our presence. And I know for me, it was always, if I just take one more class, if I just get one more degree, I mean, I have 3 master's degrees, you know, and then it comes to a point where, at what point is there enough? And I at some point had to say, all right, I'm just going to be this and see what happens. And right after that, a couple sentences down, she says, presence and imposterism are opposite sides of the same coin, and we are the coin. I really love that. And I remember another time I was doing for Delivering Happiness a presentation, and it couldn't be more than 8 minutes, which is a little freaky, and to really make a powerful statement. And what came to me that helped me to be present, one of my favorite tricks to do that, if you want to call it a trick or tool or whatever you want to call it, is the heart breath through heart math, and that's heartmath.org, where you take 3 nice deep breaths. And on the third breath, you imagine something that brings you great joy or peace or happiness, and you breathe that into your heart. So what came to me, and I started talking about the heart breath, and I thought, you know what? I can talk about this, and that feels like an imposter, or I'm just going to do it with them and have this whole group of audience. And it was a major thing that was being recorded. And I thought, well, this could look really stupid, but if that presence is presence. And so that's what I did. I started this thing by taking 3 nice deep breaths.
It's so funny that you say that, because at our women's business meeting, which Robin usually facilitates and leads, she wasn't able to be there on Monday, and so a few of us took leadership roles, and at the very beginning of the time when I was going to be leading a segment, I did the same thing. The whole energy in the room shifted.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, just all of a sudden you could feel the peace come over and the connection.
Oh, great. And one thing with Michelle, too, she's very familiar with heart math and the breath and working from that. So I think that's something that I really encourage people to go to heartmath.org and be able to take a look at that. There's so much research that they're finding continually that really just brings just the soul of things and the science together. I think it's just really great. Amy and I were watching a Sunday morning that she had recorded, and it was talking about meditation and just how it's becoming more mainstream. And, you know, Amy and I have been doing what, meditation for what, 30 years? And so we were both looking at it going, well, this is old news. And they were thinking, well, no, this is new news, because they were showing like junior high students that the whole junior high had that was part of their curriculum, where they took two segments a day where they meditated for 15 minutes. And they had were interviewing the principal, and she said everybody was more kind to one another. There was a new sense of generosity on the campus that they'd never had before, and their grade averages had gone up. So it was really a very interesting thing of that. And, you know, I think that really brings us back to presence, because it comes from being in breath and being with yourself and then being able to be with another. So thanks, you guys, for sharing that. That was just really great to have that be something that we can include into the message tonight, because it's something that being able to look at that from a lot of different perspectives. So what about you, Dr. Kim?
You know, one of the things I've been thinking about, and as I've watched my friends go through some tough times this week, is how often there's a background of anxiety in our lives, where we're trying to measure up or please the boss or please our spouse or do things right. You know, we're taught as kids to try to get good grades and get A's and please people and all of that. And it generates this background of anxiety that I think feeds the imposter syndrome or the imposter mentality. And one of the things I'm learning is if I can just breathe through the anxiety and wiggle my toes or wiggle my fingers or do something to divert myself from the anxiety, I can be way more present and, you know, let go of that need to do something other than simply be in the moment. And, you know, it's pretty hard for anxiety and joy to coexist in the moment. So I'm noticing the power of giving up the anxiety. And then, as Amy Cuddy writes about, the joy comes flooding in. So it's definitely a discipline, but something worth keeping in mind. I found that part of the book very, very powerful. And for anyone like me who's been behind in getting with this book, I just want to recommend it, and thank you so much, Robin, for picking this book for us to delve into, because it is, and I don't say this lightly, it is life-changing. It's very, very powerful, so I'm grateful to be on this journey with everyone.
Well, I'm greatly grateful to have you accompany us. That's for darn sure. So if you go to page 98, they get into the imposter phenomenon, which they like to call IP. And it's an internal experience of intellectual phoniness. And if you go down to the bottom, there's a series of statements that I'd love us to kind of walk through, because I just found being able to expand on some of these statements. So the first one says, I'm afraid people important to me may find out that I'm not as capable as I think I am. And I can remember once I had a friend of mine who was an older market firm lady, and she had told me, she goes, if you know 10% more than anybody else in the room, you are the expert. And boy, did that really stick with me, and I think I probably learned that 20 years ago. She shared that with me 20 years ago. So it's always that, you know, being the eternal wannabe, like Amy said, you know, I have like 3 master's degrees. But a part of it, just being aware of what's going on with modern trends, what people are doing and not doing, and being able to be in conversation with different things. So think about that, Amy.
Well, and I also want to comment that there are some times when you are competent, and there are some times when you do need training and education. And I think it's about having that good self-assessment to go, maybe this isn't something that I should be doing if I don't have the ability, I don't have the talent, I don't have the experience or training. So I think it's about being really honest with yourself. There's a difference between that and feeling like an imposter, even though you have the education.
Well, like, okay, so for me, I automatically, when you say that, I'm like, how are you going to know?
Good question. Anybody, Michelle or Kim, any ideas on that? Or what do you think about what I just said?
What's the question?
Well, I believe there's times when it's not imposterism, but it's that you really aren't qualified to do that, and you're being told that you need more training or education or experience.
Or even within yourself, you're sensing that you need to just take it to a new level of understanding.
So how would you know that?
You don't know until you fail. That's why failure is great.
Oh, that's a good one, Michelle. And I want to remind everybody, yeah, if you go back, that's something Amy and I were talking about this early today, and we try to be sensitive to how much we talk about the current book, you know, when we're actually talking. We want to have a fresh conversation. But, you know, if you go back to Big Magic with Elizabeth Gilbert, our first book that we did with the Cafe Book Club, my perspective on this is so different now that if I had not read that before I read this, I think I would really be in just a different place of having the sense of the imposter. And actually, that was so great because, Michelle, I actually in the side notes of my book that I have, I talk about that with Big Magic about failure and how you will fail. And that really is the one thing that's a tempering component for you to know where you are. And I think that's just perfect. How about you, Dr. Kim?
Well, I think what Amy said about self-awareness is really important for us to take the time to really know ourselves, to know what our, I like to think of it as our growing edge is, and know when to seek out other resources, including people in our lives, you know, books, courses, workshops, Transformation Cafe, et cetera. You know, I think we're really called to, when we think about mindfulness, I think, you know, we hear it in different contexts, but really being mindful about ourselves. Who are we really? And where is it that we need to learn and grow and take on something? So I think this whole concept of generating self-awareness, which leads to self-coaching, self-learning, self-growth. And when I say self, I'm not talking about being egocentric. I'm talking about really knowing deeply within us where we are and where we want to be in our lives and what that gap is, and then take on bridging that gap.
Now, in the book, she talks about the fact that the awards and the achievements don't do anything to stamp out the imposter fears. They actually make them worse because they exacerbate the disparity between what other people think and how you actually feel. So she's saying, even if you are completely overqualified, it doesn't change that feeling inside.
So I think we're back to being self-aware and going, how good am I at this, and what areas do I need to work? Because, and yeah, I think for me too, there's areas that I'm just, and they, I can't think of the guy's name, but he talks about, and for mastery, it's 10,000 hours or 10 years. And I know at this point in my life that I am hitting mastery in different places. And I am able to, but I have to stop and look at that because it's such a habit of trying and working and trying and working. But now I can go, oh, wow, really, but I have to really own that. And I get, I look outside of myself to people that I trust to say, yeah, do I really have mastery in that area, or am I just conning myself? And in certain areas, yes, I do. In certain areas, I don't. And so I'm just like, okay, that, well, I'll continue my work or I'll let go of that.
I have a real-life example I can share. I'm up for tenure at my college, and so I went to the organization that collects all the student feedback, and I went to the head of that organization, and I said, I want to review my student feedback for the past 6 years, and I want you to help me find leverage points for how I can be a better professor. And I went really, really seeking, you know, information, and thinking that he could do the data analysis way better than I am because he's left-brained and I'm right-brained. Anyway, when I got to his office, he said, I can't believe you're coming to see me with that question. He said, you're one of our top-rated professors. It's not that you can't get better, but there's nothing in the student feedback that is going to answer that question for you. And it was like the imposter was running the show of that conversation because I wasn't at that moment owning that I'm really a phenomenal professor. And so I had the choice of stepping into that or continuing to diminish myself and say, well, I'm not really good as they think, or I'm not really good as the students say, or whatever. But it gave me the opportunity to really own my talent and ability to lead and guide people and be a great professor and give up the imposter part. And it was so incredibly freeing. And with some coaching from Amy, it's also helped make this whole tenure process, which most people are frankly scared to death of and have a high level of anxiety about. Now it's like, oh, wow, this is going to be fun, as opposed to something to dread and fear. So it made a really big shift. So thanks. I'm grateful.
So you said that you gave up the imposter, okay, with the recognition of, you know, being one of the top rated professors. How do you think you did that?
I just told myself, I just stopped doubting myself. You know, it was a choice I made. And it's like the choice to listen to the voice that says you're not there yet, you don't belong, you're not good enough. They're going to someday find out you're a phony or a fake or an imposter. Or I can stand in, I'm a phenomenal professor. And the power of that is not ego-based. It's knowing that I'm a phenomenal professor gives me the ability to give myself fully to my students without any concern for my own standing with them or whatever. And I think the effectiveness I had last weekend with a student group that I talked about when I said my mind went blank, it was, the feedback I got was you were so real with us. And I think that's right. What really breaks through the imposter, the IP, whatever, I'm forgetting the phrase, is when we can just speak it and then it's released. It's like letting go of a helium balloon. You know, you speak it and let it go, and then it's no longer running the show.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And I love the thing that you're about in terms of ego, because the ego is going to puff you up and build you up and beat you down so that imposter can look so different from the ego's eyes.
I think a great exercise would be, you know, Ken was saying, is like, you know, I am a phenomenal. I am, you know, go through and take a whole piece of paper and just to start listing I am with all the different wonderful abilities that you are, and really coming from a place of being able to claim them in a new way.
And that balance of, and why is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And really, really work it through. And we did some extra credit homework this week. Kim and Robin and I went to go see Kung Fu Panda, and I believe there was a really great example of all these different pandas owning their gifts and talents, and instead of saying, oh, that's a bad thing or I'm an imposter, I am really good at, you know, kicking dumplings. So that's
rolling down the hill
and really owning that. So if you want some extra credit homework, you know, and get extra points, go see Kung Fu Panda and write on the notes as, you know, Transformation Cafe about what you learn about being a really good panda.
Yeah, you know, having a great entrance or a great exit.
Yeah.
When you come to the movie, you totally know what that means, you know, and, you know, being chitty-chitty and chatty-chatty and all that good stuff. So, yeah, it's a really great movie, and it really, really is such a compliment to what we're talking about when it comes to being the imposter self. Because, you know, Poe, the Kung Fu Panda, you know, has always come from that, just the simple-mindedness of who he is, but, yeah, his great ability of, you know, his master seeing who he really was and what he is, what he's being asked to do on a cosmic level, if you will.
Well, but he didn't believe it.
He didn't believe it until it happened for him, and it was just a matter of him. He hit mastery, yeah, exactly.
I want to say something about mastery, which I believe mastery shows up when we give our gifts away. So, Amy, and the example she gave, gives her gift of spiritual psychology and her ability to coach people. She gives it to others so that they grow. And as they grow, she sees her mastery reflected in them. So mastery isn't something that we measure in ourselves. It's actually expressed as other people grow and thrive around us. So if we want to know how well we're doing, look at the people around us. Are they thriving? You know, I'm a phenomenal professor, but not because my students thrive. My students blossom because I give everything I have to them. And if they weren't blossoming, if they weren't thriving, I wouldn't be a phenomenal professor no matter what. So our mastery is reflected in those around us and how they're doing. So if we ever want to know, you know, how we're doing and where we need to take on our next growing edge, look at the people around us. They're how we can see.
Thank you, Kim. That was just really wonderful. That was amazing. So, you know, here this Joe's been called, you know, can I break up with my
imposter self. And I think, you know, can I, you know, have a love affair with my master self? And being able to nurture that and really giving it all that I really deserve for myself. So Amy found a really wonderful quote today. It says, I'm qualified to make my priorities and passions into my profession. I really want to encourage everybody to, you know, just take a little time for the I am exercise. Be looking at Kung Fu Panda. We love to hear any kind of comments that are going to happen in the forum. And we look forward to seeing you guys next week for episode 5 in the Cafe Book Club. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time here at the Cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.